Okay, hi. I'm Jeff Fong. I'm a designer on the studio responsible for the creative direction that we're called Metro. Just kind of going back a little bit, where Metro came from originally was a lot of it was inspired originally from the wayfinding graphics that you see at transportation centers, hence the name Metro. We're just really inspired by just really clean, pure graphic design of these wayfinding graphics. And we created a set of principles around that and some initial early design studies. But before we went too far with it, you know, I had a few designers kind of go out and create some mood boards just to, you know, to see, you know, what types of designs are consistent with these principles we had. And what these designers came back with were a lot of stuff that was, you know, kind of based on 40 years of Swiss and Swiss-influenced design, from Josef Müller-Brockmann to experimental jet set. You know, we found a lot of stuff in print, packaging, that were really aligned with the stuff that we're thinking about as far as coming up with the design direction for our UI. You know, it was great because, you know, there was a certain consistency in the stuff that the designers came back with, so we're aligned on how we thought about this design direction, but it was also very inspirational to see a lot of this beautiful work that's been done over the last 40 years. And even the stuff that we see around us today, from packaging and identity systems and advertising, there's a lot of work around us that I think is really consistent with how we think about our UI design. Looking at international, as we start thinking about moving towards international district markets, you know, seeing whether or not some of these principles hold up. And in fact, it actually does. We saw some really great stuff in China and Japan. This is actually one of my favorite slides because we know we talk to localizers a lot, and people say, "Oh, you can never crop Asian characters." And it's like, "Well, really? You know, I think it's been done before. I think it's actually okay." And I just love the use of scale and some of these designs. Looking at software, there's a lot of work that's being done by the Office Labs team that we found really inspirational. Even in games. And Zune has had a lot of influence on where we are today. So the principles that's behind the Metro design, keeping things light and simple, the use of typography, motion, content, and keeping things honest, we'll go into detail here, are the high-level principles behind our design. Light and simple. And I think of this as both affecting how we design our UI from an art direction point of view, but also interaction-wise. So focusing on primary tasks, I think, is really important to us. It does a couple of things. One, it simplifies the interaction model that you see on the UI on a per-screen basis, but it also allows us to really kind of simplify the graphic design of the UI. You just get rid of stuff that's not really necessary. And in fact, I would argue it's okay to have white space in UI. It causes a lot of tension with developers. There's a tendency to want to fill every pixel with functionality. But I think it's okay to kind of step back and say it's okay to have some margins, to let the UI breathe a little bit. It actually makes the UI a little bit easier to read, to consume what you have on screen. And I think it just makes the overall look and feel of the design just a lot more beautiful and simple. Typography, if you look at UIs across the board, the one thing that's always there is words. You know, there's words in UI type. And we want to think about type as being beautiful and not just legible. If it's legible, you know, it's Arial 12-point bold everywhere and everybody could read that, but it doesn't have any, it just doesn't make it look beautiful. We want to think about hierarchy, the visual hierarchy, and making sure that there's a sense of hierarchy on the layout. It's really just good, straightforward design and thinking about the weight, balance, and scale of type on the page to get that sense of hierarchy. motion is really what makes the UI come to life. If you look at the screenshots from page to page, yeah, we want those layouts to be just, you know, graphically really, really beautiful, but the thing that makes the UI come to life is how the UI responds to you as you tap on it, as you scroll, as you come to the end of a list, and how that UI responds to you is really the thing that makes it feel responsive and gives it some life. It also allows us to create a system, thinking about how you navigate from one page to the next page and coming back again. The animation, the transition, is really the thing that gives the user context of where he's going and the types of the different types of controls that come up and how it overlays on top of each other. The motion is the thing that really gives us a sense of context and system to the overall UI. And we focus so much on the UI, we actually spend a lot of time just thinking about the transitions between screens. So we actually have a whole motion graphics team led by Jeff Arnold back there, who will come up a little bit later to talk more about motion. And we actually spent a huge amount of time just, you know, finessing the transitions between screens. And also the last point here is, on a design that we'll see a little bit later, that's very flat and graphic by nature. The motion really gives the user a sense of depth and dimension to the UI, which also again brings a sense of life to the overall design. Content, ultimately the user wants to interact with his content, so we want to focus on bringing the content to life and reduce the amount of chrome that's around the content. In fact, on a touch interface, we would argue that the user should interact directly with the content. For example, scroll bars really aren't necessary. You don't need to have a scroll bar to scroll through a list. You could just grab a list and scroll through it. Keeping things honest, there's a few bullet points here that are related. I think the first one is we really want to design for the form factor. We are called Windows Phone, and I think there's a tendency to think, yeah, you could just take Windows and, you know, jam it into a phone and you're done. But that doesn't really make sense. We really want to make sure that the design fits the form factor. And keeping things just really simple and direct. That's a term around authentically digital. There's a tendency to kind of decorate UIs these days to make it quote-unquote pretty. You see a lot of UIs with a lot of kind of glassy buttons or kind of brushed metal surfaces, but to us that actually kind of distracts from the content. We want to just be really simple and direct in how we present the content, and ultimately it's the content that makes the UI beautiful. What we want people to say, it feels fresh, clean. If we do it right, it should be beautiful. And we want it to feel like a new Microsoft. It's not looking backwards at our legacy. It is, you know, kind of taking a little bit of that, but also it's mostly looking forward and seeing where we can go with UI design. So process-wise, there's a lot of refinement here. The first thing we want to do is just kind of strip things down to its core elements, design it as a system. And then after we strip everything down to its core elements, then we can start adding things back up again and refine the designs as we go along. And what that does is it builds a foundation that hopefully will take us through multiple releases. Because, you know, what we hope is with what we believe are timeless principles at its core, we could then kind of adapt to trends over the years. We could kind of build on top of it and grow with releases as we add new features into the phone as we move forward. Fit and finish is a huge part of our process. What we have is what we call the integration team. So that's really a team that's kind of a layer between the design team and the development team. What we have is a layer in our framework that allows us to have a team of people who just adjust essentially the layout and the animations. And what that does is it frees the developers up from doing, you know, fixing crashes and performance issues. And then we have a team that actually just goes in and just, you know, spends a lot of time just dialing things in as far as the layout and transitions are concerned. And having that high level fit and finish is really what separates the best products out there from a lot of the products that you see, which at its surface might look really cool, but once you start playing with it, you start seeing the seams in their designs. So we went through, and this is just a small sampling of all the different iterations that we went through in coming up with our designs. Even just on the start screen, we went through a ton of iteration. And where we landed is here. This is kind of high level. We'll look at it in detail in a couple of minutes of where we are with the Metro design for Windows Phone 7, from the start screen to details to calendar. We kind of designed it as a system. We have a grid system that everything snaps into. We have a dark theme that you've probably seen quite a bit, but also a light theme to allow a little bit of user customization for the UI. We have these things called panoramas, which it's kind of a nice way to kind of bubble up content to surface to allow users kind of quick access to content at a high level within a UI. And kind of think of it as a wide panorama space, and the phone, the screen is really just a window into the space that you could pan across. Typography, again, it was really important for us to have just a beautiful typography within the system, and we work really closely with the typography team at Microsoft. We use Sigo, which is the font we use across many Microsoft products. But we went ahead and kind of went and just kind of adjusted a little bit. What we're seeing here is a weight that we created. It's called Semi-Light. We love the lightweight version of Sigo, which is just has this really nice, beautiful, elegant look to it. But at the same time, the lightweight font gets a little spindly when rendered on UI. So we created this semi-light font, which kind of splits the difference between regular and light. We adjusted some of the shapes of the characters, and then in the numeral set, we actually developed a new set of numerals based on the old set. The old set is monospaced, which works well, but it doesn't quite have the elegance of a proportionally spaced numerals, which we developed for Sigo Windows WP. And icons, we had a team go out and created custom icons for us, which aligned both, fits within the layouts, but also if you look at, the Sigo, we want to make sure that it all fits well together as a system. So quickly, we'll go through a couple of motion samples. Again, Jeff Arnold, in a little bit, will go deeper into motion. But again, thinking about, like I was saying before, setting the context of navigating through the UI, this is a navigation animation that we call turnstile. So if I were to click on something on the start screen and we navigate into the application, we do this little, what we call a turnstile animation into the application. This is a panorama. We have a slightly different animation into the panorama. That the concept here is to give the user context that they could go left and right through the panorama. And as they pan through, you'll see that things kind of move in at different, there's a little bit of parallax as we slide through the panorama. Email list to email. So now once you're in an application, we want to reduce the amount of turnstiles. That tends to be a little bit heavy. And this is something that we call continuum. What this does is it takes one element from one screen and moves it into the next screen to give the user a sense of continuity as he navigates through our UI system. So in this case, we took that name of the sender and moved it into the email card itself. Even just pivoting, which is what we call this control up here, you could kind of go left and right to get different views. In this case, on email, we spent a lot of time just kind of fine-tuning the nuances of pivoting through a little bit of parallax as you kind of go left and right, and thinking about what happens to these little icons down here. If they change as you go through the pivots. Calendar, this is actually one of the simpler animations in the system, but it's also one of my favorites. It's just something really kind of, beautiful and powerful about the thought of just being able to tapping on a day within your month view and then just zooming directly in into that day view and then back out again. And then looking a little closer at our UI designs. This is our start screen, having what we call tiles on the left side and all applications on the right side. And the concept here is, you know, we allow the user to customize this left side, and having these big tiles is a great way to just kind of highlight the content and allow these things to be dynamic and update and push information up to the surface, and making it purposeful, the difference between the two sides through scale and layout. And again, the concept over time, as the user uses the product and adds content, you know, every start screen is going to be different based on the content that the user has on screen. The lock screen, so when you just turn on the phone and the screen turns on, this is what we call the lock screen. And you just kind of slide this photo off. Again, reducing Chrome, we don't need to have a big slider bar or grip, or, you know, just through a simple little animation. I don't know if you guys have seen this yet, but, you know, we just turn it on. We just kind of bump this thing up and down just a little bit, just to kind of give the hint that you can pull this thing up, and that's enough to let the user know that they could, you know, swipe this thing up to reveal the start screen underneath. You know, the information could be the layout is flexible. It could be pretty dense with information for us people at Microsoft who constantly have, you know, meetings. We'll show you your next meeting, the number of emails, new phone calls you have. The other thing we do with the design too is, you know, we put a 20% black over the photo, and if I didn't tell you that, most people probably wouldn't realize that it's actually there. It's just, you know, dark enough that if you want to put a picture of a polar bear in a snowstorm, you know, for your start screen, you know, the type will still read on it. But it's also light enough that it's not really that noticeable. And it's actually better than a gradient. If I put it in a gradient here, you'll actually see the gradient, right? That actually kind of gets in the way of the photo. But just keeping it flat and fairly lightweight, it really lets the contents come through. This is the panorama for people. Again, you know, you can just kind of pan through the different kind of content from your recent contacts, all of your people, and feeds, what your friends are doing. Is all kind of bubbled up right here in the People Hub. Looking at contacts, again, you know, being able to look at their profile and what that person's been up to recently, pivoting between the two. An incoming call. And what I hope you see as we go through these slides, you'll see a system that we've developed that everything kind of snaps into. So there's a certain level of consistency within the designs. The picture panorama. Again, you'll see the consistency in how we lay this out compared to the People Hub that we have. But because of the content, it really feels different. Pictures, from single pictures to folders, using the different scale to kind of indicate the different types of content that you have within there. But all snapping into a grid system. The camera experience, taking pictures, messaging, email, music and video. Yeah.
Go back
to the video. So the question is, how do you swipe? How do you navigate through this panorama?
Right. So
Yeah. Right. So when you come in here, The way it works is that it actually is, will remember how you came in, so it'll snap to the how you exited. But let's say so you come in for the first time, you come here and you see this. And the layout is designed so that you know, it's the next section actually bleeds in a little bit. So you could kind of see that there's a little more to the right edge. And in this case, you could kind of pan over. And this really big guy right here is the thing that's currently playing. So we'll play that one up a little bit. So if you are currently listening to this album right now, it's bigger. If nothing is playing, then everything is, you know, at the smaller size. But the bigger thing is the thing that is playing. And then you could then pan through your recent items, snap over to your new items, pan through that, and then look at the apps that you have within the panorama space. And we do mix it up a little bit. If a list is relatively contained, you know, we do like the idea of just kind of panning sideways through that space. But if you do have a list that's really, really long, so if we go back to the people or even the photos one, you know, the what's new, you know, all the feeds of new photos that your friends have posted, this could be a pretty long list, and it doesn't really make sense to continue panning through, you know, potentially a you know, really, really long list. So we mix it up a little bit, you know. So in this case, you come in, here's all the content you have within your library, some stuff that we bubble up based on, you know, what's what you've been doing, and this will change. You can pan through that, and then we snap over to the What's New feed, then you kind of vertically scroll through the content here. And we do use cropping in our UI to let the user know what happens. So if you come here, you know, on this layout, you know, it's actually going to get cropped right here. And that cropping is the way we let user know that there's a little bit more to the right here. And then we come over here, the cropping happens at the bottom as a way to indicate that the list scrolls this way. Sure. So the question is whether or not you would continue to see the word mosaic if I pan through here, and yes, because of everything kind of moves at a different speed, the background's going to be panning at a different speed, and as you scroll through here, we actually take that word mosaic and kind of move it along. And likewise, if you actually start to hear and then you snap over here, you actually see the, you know, the word mosaic over here to set the context of what that content is.
One last question.
Sure.
Is that a 20%?
Yeah. But that 20%. The question is whether or not we do the 20% black on top of the background, and yes, we do that here as well, again, to help make sure that the content on top that you're interacting with pops. This is the Now Playing experience. So we do connect to the Zune service that provides metadata. So if we have a picture of the artist, we'll go ahead and put it in the background here in the Now Playing view. Also, back here in the artist view, if you're looking at the Dave Matthews Band, we'll go ahead and put a photo of them there. And you could actually pivot through and get information about the artists and albums, the discography of that artist in our marketplace as well. So you could actually get more content. Yeah, so the question is whether or not the information is local on the device or pulled to the internet. The albums that you have in your collection, the album covers, those types of information, is synced to the device. I can't remember. So you have to forgive me. Sometimes I might give you the wrong answer here because I work both on the Zune HD, which we did things in a certain way, and here, which might have been done slightly differently. On the Zune HD, we do go ahead and pull that information down and sync it to the device, and it is local. But I believe on the phone, we actually pull it down through the data service. So album covers do get synced, but somebody might have to correct me, but I But I believe a lot of this is actually pulled down through your data connection. And the beautiful thing here now is you can actually head out to Marketplace, right? And we could pull that information as you browse the Marketplace. I don't believe we do, since we don't put a. So the question is whether we went ahead and put that 20% gray or black on top. And Chad might know this better than I do. I don't believe we actually put the 20% black on the album covers, because the only thing we put on top is the play button here. So there isn't a whole lot of information that floats on top of the album cover. So there isn't a need to actually add that 20% black. Oh, we do put it there. Okay. And this is games, which is an Xbox Live experience. And I kind of like this one because, to me, the whole Metro design language is actually relatively neutral. So the nice thing about that is it actually blends with other brands well. So in this case, you know, we just took that same layout that we saw in the other panoramas, but then we added this background and some extra content around it that is Xbox specific. And, you know, at a glance, you know, it really feels Xbox branded. And it's a nice way to just be able to blend with other brands. So kind of summarizing what we've done over the last essentially a year and a half, you know, we came up with these design principles and we built a UI design that is, you know, based on those principles. And the result is something that is, I would argue, it's really distinctive and beautiful, and it's just kind of graphic simplicity. And the nice thing about that, too, is now as you look at this as a system, it really stands out from a competitor's. You know, like, you know, everybody else is trying to copy each other, you know, doing these little classy, shiny icons. And all this stuff is kind of looking at a squint level kind of the same. And it feels actually, to me, a little dated. You know, that's so 2007. And this is, you know, kind of a fresh start. And looking at where we're coming from, you know, Windows Mobile, you know, it's kind of a nice step forward. And I think it builds a nice foundation for the next few years as we kind of continue building on the Windows Phone system. So thanks. I think I have a few minutes if anybody has any more questions before we move on to, I think we have a break after this. Yeah.
So as a creator, since everything's so project focused, how do you make your app stand out from somebody else's app? Since it's simple, it's just type, it's like on iPhone, you can have all these fancy widgets, you can really have a distinct feel.
Mm-hmm.
Metro is very, it's just the bare essence. Like,
yeah.
It's great, it's nothing getting in the way.
Uh-huh. Sure. So the question is, like, you know, with Metro being so pure and simple, how does one app really distinguish itself from another app? I think that the first thing would be the content. You know, hopefully the content with your app is very different from the content in another app. But also, I see Metro as being sort of like the baseline, you know, the foundation for the designing and developing apps. And if it makes sense for your app to use Metro, the design language for your app, then yeah, absolutely. But you don't have to, right? I think there's a continuum on how you design apps. There's going to be the ones which might make a lot of sense to just really be pure to the Metro principles and look and feel a lot like what we do here. But I think there's also another range, which are the apps that shouldn't look anything like this, right? I mean, the best example would be games. You know, it doesn't really make sense to make a game look exactly like this.
Go on Foursquare. Like, they have very two distinctive fields on iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
How would they, like, Go on is not a game. How would it stand out versus Facebook?
Yeah.
It's just Metro. It's not going to look like a... Sorry,
yeah, so if I just jump back here to this, right, I don't think you'll confuse this with the Photos Hub, right? You know, there are... By changing the background, the colors, and the content, I think this feels very distinctly Xbox. Anything else before we break? It might be actually good to end early because I think the next session is actually going to run a little bit long. So.